what it would be like if we didn't have ethanol energy to help fuel and take care of corn demand. I think the bottom line is that we're hopeful three major things happen this coming year. The EPA will ultimately increase the blend of ethanol from 10% up to 12 to 14% because of the energy bill, mandating the energy bill. And then also we think the new president-elect is going to be rather supportive to renewable energies. And, of course, the third thing that we're looking at is that hopefully with the new economic stimulus package that it will stabilize not only ethanol, the farm community, but also Main Street and Wall Street. Hopefully those three things will happen next year, that we will have a better year, and also stabilize prices of corn at some slightly higher levels.
Would you like to crystal ball for me what you think prices might be? Could there be 450 cash prices for corn again, $10 cash prices for soybeans potentially?
Well, let's go to the easy ones first. Before the market closed today, I asked the group in the commodity office here what they thought the stock market would be a year from now, and we came up with a non-controversial 2,000 points higher. You know, somewhere in that 10,000 to 11,000 price area.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the corn commodity, you know, we think it's going to be a tough first 6 months in the corn market. We will see price improvement based in, you know, as far as better demand, and also we think better energy prices. One of the quickest ways, in my opinion, to settle the cheap crude oil price is offer some of the OPEC countries to put some of their oil production in our strategic reserve. We'd give them a glorified warehouse receipt or a certificate of deposit of so many billion millions of gallons of oil in our strategic reserve, and then we would pay for it whenever they wanted to turn around and sell it to us. As a result of that, we'd be taking care of energy policy, also stabilizing this overproduction, and working hand in hand to, you know, basically make things a little more comfortable on the energy front, and also indirectly stabilize corn prices. The energy deal is a big problem. OPEC is basically playing a hand of somewhat slower production of oil. But as you mentioned, until we do get oil production and prices above the $45 to $50 a barrel rate, it's going to hurt and, you know, hurt the corn price indirectly.
Where do you think that the consumption has slacked off? Is it mostly U.S.? Is it the rest of the world? And this is consumption for oil at this point, and the price of crude rather than the price of corn.
I think it. You know, I think the it's an easy answer in the fact that the $100 to $150 trip in crude oil was just commodity speculators and world speculation, and we did start to put the brakes on crude from 75 to 100. I think it's a worldwide deal, and we did start to see, you know, economic contraction in the U.S. and also the world, and we did see this energy reduction. It was a lot more severe. When we look back on it, maybe it was the second or third trip the president made to Saudi Arabia. But that extra half a million barrels of oil they started to produce more or less changed the balance of the equation and, you know, basically got oil prices stabilized to where it did back off from its high of $148 or $150 a barrel.
Well, what do you think would be a good price for a barrel of oil? What would Paul Cooley like to see?
Well, you know, there's nothing that I want to see work more hand-in-hand, and I think there does have to be some sort of major partnerships with the consuming nations as well as the producing nations. But somewhere in this $50 to $75 a barrel deal would, you know, bring a lot of stability in the marketplace and in the agricultural sector. I think it is important that the political decisions of the new administration are very proactive to renewable energy, ethanol, And I think it's going to be an important investment, and I think it's based on three quick things. We're energy independency. It does create a lot of good, high-paying jobs in mid-America, and also it does bring economic stability to the Midwest that's long been left out as some economic prosperity.
Well, let's work with those three just a bit. Energy independence, probably a primary primary concern of Washington, D.C., after the terrorist attacks and 9/11. The Midwest and the economy here, very important today. Will there be the willpower on the first part of that to continue to provide tax relief and incentives of all sorts for ethanol production in the Midwest?
I think so, and a couple things. The state of Iowa basically made the new president-elect president of the United States, and of course he campaigned in probably every little small town in the state of Iowa, and he did. Of course, Illinois is a big ethanol producer, and he did visit a lot of ethanol plants. We understand he does see the economic stability, farm trucks hauling corn into those plants, the renewable energy, the green effect, so to speak, the 24 or 5 better-paying jobs in the community, several good-paying jobs of engineers and plant managers. And it did create a lot of economic stability and new blacktop driveways and taxes to the local community. So I think he sees that as a opportunity to divest ourselves from the oil energy consumption. And also there's a group that we also have to say is this clean coal is also a big part of this total equation, and that's a big benefactory for the state of Illinois as well.
You think the second part, the clean coal, will actually get pushed through?
I think it will be. And, of course, the carbon dioxide, clean coal and that is two things, of course, that this energy plant at Mattoon will be a big part of.
Yeah, and then what about carbon sequestration? Do you
think that's a big factor, too. And, of course, that's the big thing that has to be handled to really push coal into the next era.
Just a couple of minutes left. What do you want to take up on the bean market or the corn market, wheat, anything in particular you think farmers should be aware of as they move through 2009?
I think that we are seeing definite yield reduction in Argentina and Brazil as far as this dryness is concerned. The farmer, I think, at this $9 level will and reward the marketplace. I'm a little suspect, and I think people in the country are suspect, that we will see 5.5 million more acres of soybeans. One of the things that we do have to hope for is some economic stability to the livestock industry. That's cattle, hogs, and poultry. And it's not just a problem in the U.S., but it's worldwide. And hopefully that big marketplace for feed usage will also improve with an improved livestock industry.
That was Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. We spoke with him a week ago today. We also spoke to K-State's Mike Wolverton last week on Tuesday. Here's a portion of that conversation. Mike Wolverton, Kansas State University Extension's Grains and Biofuels Ag Economist, now joins us to take up the agricultural markets and the impact of the lower price of corn and crude oil on the ethanol industry, among other things. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start with the good news and bad news. If there's any good news, maybe we should start with that. But if not, we can delve into the bad news and what the price of crude has done to the profitability of the ethanol industry across the Midwest.
Well, it's pretty dismal, and what I'm trying to do here at the end of the year is take a look at where we are now and where we might go in 2009, and you're certainly right about what oil price has done to the ethanol industry. Oil prices come down $100 a barrel, and it's brought the price of ethanol down considerably. Also, price of corn has come down, but price of ethanol has come down more than corn. and that has put ethanol producers in a negative situation. They're now losing, according to my economic model here, about 20 cents a gallon on each gallon of ethanol they sell. The financially sound ethanol plants are still making money and can survive, largely due to the DDG sales, which is offsetting the loss in ethanol. But there's no doubt about it, it's a difficult time for ethanol producers right now.
This comes back to a squeeze on the top side when prices were really high for the price of corn. Verison, of course, got into trouble at that point. I suspect there might be a few other plants that would be in the same boat. Was there a time where they were really profitable other than prior to March of last year?
Well, I think even up until midsummer, the ethanol plants are doing quite well. And then when the price of oil fell and the price of corn fell, then that's when they started getting into trouble. What the big problem Verison had was that they had contracted to buy corn at very high prices and ended up then processing that corn into ethanol and selling it at low prices. So they really got themselves in a squeeze. Had to declare bankruptcy, and the bankruptcy judge then allowed them to break their contracts with farmers. So they got out of that those high-priced corn contracts. But there's a price to pay for that as well, because I'm sure there are some farmers that will never do business with Verison again.
Well, I have a question about that. Darrell Good and I traveled last week with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, and we had a discussion about this, a very short discussion, as to what a corn contract might mean if the court system was going to come in and break it. Has there been much discussion legally among ag economists about the wide-ranging prospects for what that court decided?
Well, I've had discussions with farmers about this, and they were asking me, well, should I go ahead and deliver my corn on the contract? And I said, well, you're legally obligated to deliver on the contract. But then the problem is getting payment. I think farmers are really put in a really difficult situation here, because they have to deliver on their contracts, then in many cases stand in line with other creditors to get the money back. And so this is going to drag out for quite some time until those farmers are compensated for their corn.
The flip side of that, of course, was that Verison was using, I think, the futures markets as a strategy. And the futures markets got their money.
They did. And so, you know, it's just Verison is in a terrible situation right now. They're one of the three largest ethanol producers in the United States, or were. They have now closed down some plants. But this industry is going through a tremendous consolidation in 2009, I think. Someone will buy the Verison assets and run them. But it probably won't. The Verison name probably will disappear, because I just don't think people want to do business with them anymore.
Well, they won't want to do business with them. You're thinking that the capacity that's there will be purchased and won't be idled. What does that mean for the prospects for the industry over 2009 then?
Well, I think we have to look a little bit to the political support side of this, because Congress raised the ethanol blending rate to 10.2%. Which would create a demand for about 14 billion gallons of ethanol. And this past year, 2008, we were in a slight overcapacity situation in the ethanol industry. In 2009, we're going to be in an undercapacity situation. So I think that bodes well for the ethanol industry. Of course, everyone's waiting to see what this new administration's policies on renewable energy will be. But so far, people are happy with the team that President-elect Obama has put together.
Do you have an idea of what the blending mandate, and my understanding is that it's by company, but what the blending mandate is and what happens if they don't happen to meet those mandates, should capacity not be there?
Well, I've taken a look at that, and from what I can tell, there are no mandate police out there checking up on ethanol plants. Up until now, we've relied on the carrot of the blenders' tax credit to get the gasoline blenders to buy ethanol. But that blender's tax credit is due to sunset at the end of 2009, and we'll have to then rely on the stick. And so the mandate then will have to kick in. And so this will play itself out in 2009 as we look ahead at what's going to happen to government policy with respect to ethanol.
I think my understanding is that there is an economic incentive on the other side, too, that if they don't meet the mandate, that they they may end up taking a charge one way or the other.
Well, that's the stick, and right. And so we're going to have to see how that works. You know, it's interesting. We're just now celebrating the 1 year anniversary of the Energy Security and Independence Act of 2007. Up until then, ethanol was an additive to gasoline as an oxygenate. But that 2007 Act then now requires the use of ethanol and other renewable fuels to reduce the dependence on foreign oil.
Right.
And so we've kind of changed our government policy with respect to ethanol, and that has allowed Congress then to raise the mandate above that which would just call for oxygenate. So we're really playing in a new ballgame right now.
You think Congress will have the political will to stay the course?
That's going to be the big question, Todd. When we see oil price down in the $30 range, below $40, it's going to be a test of our political will to carry on with this renewable energy initiative, of which ethanol and other biofuels are part of. Right now, I think it's there because I think the political will is there because people are still concerned about being dependent on foreign oil producers. And what we might see in the coming years. And so for right now, the political will is there. We'll have to see what happens in this next year.
About 2.5 minutes left. I'd like to switch gears just a bit to discuss the relationship between corn, ethanol, and crude oil, if I could.
So there
seems to be, of the last not quite 18 months, but maybe 9 or 10 months, certainly a relationship that has developed over 18 months, but that has hooked corn, crude, ethanol, and the RBOB together in some form. Do you think that will stay in place given the load price of crude oil? Or are there other things that could unhook this relationship?
Well, this relationship has been pretty closely tied together, oil, ethanol, and corn prices. And we've seen this huge drop in oil price, and along with it, ethanol and corn prices have dropped. I think this next year, 2009, we're going to test that relationship. And I think the thing that may be the test is the corn plantings in the spring of 2009. Current estimates are for planting about 82 million acres, but my calculations are if we're going to meet the ethanol mandate, we're going to need 86 million acres of corn to cover all the uses and give a comfortable carryover. And I think we have to also look at the economic situation for 2009. And here we have to come back. It's ironic, really, but the low price of oil and gasoline is really helping to reduce the depth and the length of this recession.